Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 17th of March, and I'm recording at 8:45 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, sort of an all change day here today, and I think that's due to the fact that there was no increase in the tensions that were occurring in the Ukraine region. And the vote took place. It's got a farcical approval rating here, but which consists either of Russian voters and numbers made up by the Russian propagandists. I think it came out to something like 97.7 or something like that in favor. And there hasn't been, because there hasn't been a big clash over the weekend or in here today, I think the markets have given a big sigh of relief. And an old adage that veteran subscribers will recall that I've often used about crises, whatever the crisis is perceived to be, is that in terms of having an impact, an immediate impact on the market, it has to be widely perceived by investors to be a deteriorating situation. Now, that was certainly the case for much of last week, but not over the weekend and not in here today. And we certainly had a lot of short covering and some new buying here, particularly in the European stock markets and also on Wall Street. And more on that in a moment. But if I ask the question of myself, speaking out loud, you know, is this situation over? Well, no. Is it going to end up in some big military conflict? Well, hopefully not, and I think also probably not. But nevertheless, Europe and the USA have joined forces here and decided that they are going to have some sanctions and make it a little bit difficult for Russia for annexing Crimea, and I think the tensions are going to remain maybe a little bit below the surface for a while. But I think this situation, well, it's, I'll put it this way, I certainly don't think that we've heard the last of it, and I think it is still a threat to these markets overall. But what about today's action? Well, starting with Asia, we didn't get much of a response here one way or the other. Japan was down, and one of the reasons for that is the uncertainty, as I've been saying, was saying last week, over the tax increase that's coming up. But also, the yen had firmed, and we got back down to about 101 yen to the U.S. dollar. Well, the yen has weakened a little bit in here today. It's 101.71 as I speak, but that may not be enough. Well, put it this way. That was not enough to lift Japan today, but I think it will tomorrow, and I think we will see most of these Asian stock markets stronger tomorrow, given the gains that we saw on Wall Street and also in Europe. But to get back to Japan, the Nikkei 225 was down 0.35 of a percent. That's not a big move, obviously. The other indices were down more, though. Now, the Hang Seng Index was also down a third of a percentage point. But China Shanghai Composite A-Shares Index had a gain of nearly 1% today, and touch wood, it looks like that is actually building a little bit of support down here prior to a further rally. It's certainly oversold in the short term, and this has certainly been an underperforming market. Over the medium term, valuations are low. Well, you know all that. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a further rally take place here in the near term, although there is plenty of uncertainty over what's going on in China and what the government's policies are actually going to be. And they're uncovering a few can of worms as they go along, and that's keeping the markets generally nervous. But most of Asia was higher. That did not include Australia, down a small fraction. But most of the markets is a little bit steadier here overall. India was not open here today. It'll be interesting to see how that performs tomorrow, and I'd expect gains because the rupee is a little bit firmer. It's an informal market. The polls for the election remain favorable, and I think that's a good tailwind to have behind it. Now, looking at Europe, we saw a good bounce here today. Interesting, the best gains in Europe recently are the steadiest action. And for a long time, if I go back to the beginning of the fourth quarter of last year, I mean, Ireland has been one of the top performers all along, and still generally steady. But remember all the fear over what was taking place in both Italy and Spain. Well, Italy's been particularly steady and is not far off its high here and was up 1.66% today. Greece, there was certainly plenty of worry about Greece, and it's been an outstanding performer here over the last few months. So that does well and truly show that Super Mario Draghi does seem to have the situation under control, although there are obviously plenty of long-term problems still to be resolved in terms of generating sustainable growth in the European region. Just generating a little bit of growth will be a big achievement, and we're starting to see some evidence of that overall. But all of these European stock markets were higher in here today. Now, the USA, the Dow had the best of it, up 1.13%. That's up 181 points. But the S&P gaining nearly 1%, up 17.7 points. The NASDAQ composite index was up 0.81%. So the NASDAQ, actually, it's a good gain, but it's the smallest gain among those three indices, whereas it's often a leader. So again, I think there's some short covering in this rally here today. And I'll also say that I think that given the short-term valuations slightly higher in the USA than most other stock markets around here, I find it hard to think that Wall Street's going to go through and score any kind of meaningful gains to the upside over the next few months. But equally, I think there's more risk to the downside than the upside, in other words. But equally, the tailwind of monetary policy is still really quite favorable, despite the continuing tapering. Those low interest rates are they're certainly going to stay low for some time. The dollar is soft generally, and this is a favorable background overall here for the U.S. stock market. And the economy's not doing badly. It's not racing ahead on all cylinders, obviously, because following a credit crisis recession, as I've said over and over, and as you know, it takes a minimum of 5 to 7 years, and we're only just at the 5-year point in terms of this actual recovery. And the U.S. has a lot of bullish overall characteristics here, bullish features, I should say, not least its accelerating lead in technological innovation, and also its very competitive energy prices overall. But I think Wall Street would do very well to hold at these current levels over the next couple of quarters. So I do think there's some downside risk, but not big downside risk. The markets that I think are more interesting here in the short term, I think Europe has more attractive valuations, and that can outperform. And again, we'll have additional recovery scope. And I think that Vietnam, which Owen has written about today, remains an outstanding recovery candidate. And India is incredibly exciting because of the near certainty of this very, very significant change in leadership, which should regalvanize that economy. Okay, moving on to long-dated government bonds. Now, they had we'd seen yields go down last week when stock markets were worried, particularly about the Russian-Ukraine situation. And we got right back down to that 2.6 level for the U.S. 10-year. And I'm just going to put it up. 10YR. And I think we're around the 2.64. But let me just check that out. No, we're better than that. It had been around 2.64 when I saw it earlier on, but it got right down, almost test the 2.6 level, which we saw at the beginning of this month, and we also saw at the beginning of February. So we're in a tight trading range in here, and we're actually in as part of a broader trading range, which I have described as a lengthy medium-term consolidation. While Wall Street rallies, you can expect these bond yields to push a little higher. The 10-year is currently at 2.6921. And really ranging between this 2.6 and 2.8 on the upside. On a medium-term basis, I expect an upward break, but the significant upward break will be when it gets above the 3% level. And I would not hold my breath in terms of that taking place quickly here. Again, with Wall Street stronger and the tensions easing, we saw pullbacks in gold and silver here today. Gold bullion is down $16 as I speak. It's currently trading at $13.67. So a smallish pullback there. Silver pulling back a little bit more, 21.17. I think we will probably see these precious metals higher, though, over the medium term. Certainly the current chart activity that we've seen, the recent chart activity that we've seen over the last few months, can support somewhat higher levels. Possibly the most interesting one is palladium, although it's a little bit of a gamble in terms of what Russia's policy is in terms of releasing palladium, since it's the main producer. But palladium has had the steadiest trend among precious metals during this big corrective phase that we've seen in the last couple of years. And it was lagging gold a little bit on the upside, but then last week broke its progression of lower rally highs within a range, and so it looks attractive to me. And platinum is also reasonably steady, although only down a dollar in here today. And in other developments that I mentioned earlier on, that the U.S. dollar was fairly soft. The U.S. dollar index, I should emphasize, that's at 79.38, and not far off its lows of last year. And against that background, the euro's edged a bit higher to 1.3922, and Sterling is stuck in here in this 166.36. That's quietly steady for sterling. The euro is maybe a little bit uncomfortably high as far as Mario Draghi is concerned. I would be surprised if the euro could sustain a move above 140 for the against the US dollar for more than the very short term overall. And against the Asian currencies, well, we no longer have a situation where those Asian currencies are weakening almost. Again, I think it's just going to be relatively quiet sideways range trading. We'll have more action in the number of the commodities, and following just the terrific run-up that we've seen in so many agricultural commodities over the last 3 months or more. I think there a number of them are sufficiently overextended, so we may well see a bit of a pause and consolidation here. Supply is the key variable for the agricultural commodities, and there have been reasons for suspecting that supply was going to be curbed in here by first by weather conditions that we were seeing, the dryness that we were getting in South America and also parts of Asia, the exceptionally cold weather that we were seeing in North America, which is still a threat to delaying plantings, and the exceptionally wet weather that we have been seeing in Europe, and then the Ukraine situation, which hopefully it won't affect their wheat production, but it could, to state the obvious here. But again, I think there's so much that is bad news and concerns that have been reflected by prices that these agricultural commodities maybe are a little bit overextended in here. Right now, and are going to, be, as I say, be susceptible to something of a pullback. Base metals still ranging here overall. The fear factor overhanging that market is China, and I think until China clearly picks up, until people feel more confident that China's economic growth is no longer contracting but actually picking up again. Until that happens, we may well see these trading ranges for the industrial metals participating. But the fundamentals have gradually improved, basically with producers cutting back on production. And as the global economy eventually picks up a little more steam, then we should see prices push higher overall. And that's pretty much it on this Monday evening. So all the very best to all of you.